You ever sit with someone in dialysis? Have you? Man, God bless those people. I've sat with probably a half dozen. One of them was a waitress. She had three kids. She had 2% kidney function. We got all thousands of people together to get her a kidney, and she was at work. Excuse me. She worked at this Italian restaurant. It was a Saturday night. She was at work, and she gets the call that she got a kidney, and now she's thriving, but she was in bad shape. And this dialysis stuff, it's like 3 or 4 hours. It's several days a week. It beats you up. Then it was my boy Ryan. He was kind of sort of in jeopardy of dying. Now, we got his daughter involved. She's a world-renowned softball player. Why does that matter? She has several hundred thousand followers in social media. And we put him on the air several times, and his daughter, and then he got a kidney. And he's texting me this morning. He's doing appraisals on houses. But it's a hell of a journey, man. Waiting for a kidney or sitting in dialysis. 13 people die every day. Waiting for a kidney. 13 die every day. About 100,000 Americans are on active waiting lists. This story today is going to make you smile. This story gives hope to anyone out there sitting on dialysis thinking, I'm going to die like this. Joining me this morning is the happiest guy that I know. Dave, how are you, brother?
I'm doing great.
I bet you are. I am so happy for you, my man. Who is that with you?
This is my brother, Rich. He is the former retired head football coach at Carnegie Mellon.
Smartest football team in America.
Absolutely. No doubt.
Believe me, my buddy's son plays. He had offers from Yale and MIT, plays for Carnegie Mellon with a 4.0 average in computer science. That is a smart football team, sir.
He chose wisely.
Oh, man, I love that school. I am too stupid to even know how to fill out the application yet. Get in there. Regardless, not the story today. Dave, tell this story about your situation and what has just happened. This is absolutely amazing stuff. Please tell us.
Okay. So, Rich, my brother, suggested that I send a letter to all the alumni that played for him at Carnegie Mellon. So I put together the letter, and the head football coach presently at Carnegie Mellon had it forwarded to all the players. And one of them replied back. And I spoke with them live on the phone, and I kind of reviewed my situation with them. And he said, I would do anything to help your brother. And he said, I'm going to give you a kidney if I can.
No, come on, man.
Absolutely. So
hold on.
I gave him the website.
Coach, how cool is that, man?
Yeah, it's really cool. This young man called me, and
wow,
Ryan Larson is the head football coach, current head football coach at Carnegie Mellon, and coach was kind enough to send the letter out to the football alumni and friends of Carnegie Mellon football on two separate occasions. The first time when Dave was diagnosed, and the second time when his kidney function was getting drastically low. And the second email prompted this alumnus to call me, and he simply said to me, he said, Coach, he said, I have two kidneys, and you only need one. And he said, I'd be happy to donate to your brother, and let's get the process started.
Come on. So then what happens, Dave?
So he filled out the application. 10 minutes later, he texted me and said, hey, I filled it out. I'm waiting for them to call me back. One thing led to another, and UPMC contacted him and said, hey, we want you to come up and get your blood work done. So he was supposed to be up for 2 days, but it turned into 4 days.
Wow.
And
things just progressively went well. And then this past, I guess it was past Monday, he was approved and he was a match.
Wow.
And UPMC contacted me on Tuesday, late afternoon at 5 o'clock, and said, we're going to do this kidney transplant next Thursday.
Wow. David, what's that call like? What's that call like, brother? What's that like? Wow.
You know, I'm almost speechless. I didn't know what to think. I was just so happy.
Man, the context of this. How old is this man giving you his kidney?
He's 53.
Wow. Does he have a family?
No.
Huh?
No,
he's not a family member. No.
And coach, where's he coming from?
He currently lives in Florida.
Wow. So my man's coming from Florida and donating a kidney.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, he's a
wow.
He's a very religious young man, and obviously incredibly generous. And what he's doing for me and for my brother,
it's amazing.
Is just incredible. It's a godsend. It's a blessing.
It's unbelievable. Coach, what position did he play?
He played linebacker, and he only played for me for maybe about a year or so, and he had a bad back. Wow. And wasn't able to continue playing, but, you know, he obviously was a loyal member of the team.
It's unbelievable.
And injury prevented him from continuing, and he's on that email football alumni list.
It's unbelievable.
He was the one who responded.
David, honestly, because we've been communicating for months, my man, it's a life in a blender, isn't it? I mean, there's so many highs and lows to this. The mood swings, depression, anxiety, fear, life, death, all these things, right?
You're absolutely right. I mean, you know, every night I thought about this, and, you know, there were times that I wasn't sure if I'd ever find a donor.
No. No. I mean, why would you? I mean, honestly, my man, it gets to you, doesn't it? It really does.
It does, but I think the one thing that helped me is, you know, I'm a salesperson by trade, and I did so many different things to market myself. I mean, I was in the newspaper. I did these plastic cardboard cutouts of myself. I had social media all over the place.
Yep.
I mean, doing everything I possibly can. And this just worked out just beautifully.
And you, Marty.
Thanks, Coach.
And the fact that, you know, you publicized this through your program, I can't tell you how much Dave obviously appreciates it. And the whole Lackner family appreciates you going to bat for him.
You know, who got this to me was one of my favorite people ever is Shelley Duffy. She's the one who kind of turned me on to cool Dave and his situation. And there isn't a kinder person on earth than Shelley Duffy. She's just amazing.
But she's just a dear friend of mine, too. I'm just a great person. And so, I can't thank you enough for what you've done for me.
So, my man, what is your kidney function at now?
I'm at 13%.
So you're not on dialysis yet?
No, but I'm not very far from it.
Good.
You know, in January I was at 19,
yep.
And now I'm at 13. So I'm probably within a couple months of having to go on dialysis.
Hey, Dave, have you wrapped your arms around that 13 people will die today waiting for a kidney? Does that kind of hit you at all?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just... there's just so many people, and there's such a demand for kidneys, and there's just not enough people donating. And, you know, that's a shame. You know, we need to get people to volunteer and try to help other people.
David, what do you do for a guy that gives you a kidney, brother? Honestly, man, what the hell do you do? Huh?
Well, I took him out for dinner, but that's certainly not enough.
Where did you go?
We went to El Piziola in Mount Lebanon.
Oh, that's strong. That's strong. Did you make him pay, Dave?
No, but Richie insisted on paying.
Coach.
I was willing to pick up the check.
The smartest football smartest football team in America. Now we know they also have wonderful hearts, don't we, Coach?
Absolutely. You know, it's gratifying to see what they did as players. And we won a lot of football games with a lot of great, great young men. But what they do in their lives in terms of their business and how they volunteer. How they give back to communities. And a lot of them are coaches now, and they go to refereeing, and they're just involved in their communities in such a positive way. It's very gratifying for me.
I love it,
to see what great men they've become.
Coach, I went to Central Catholic, and I'm so old. So we used to cross the street and practice. I ran track and played football, but I ran track primarily. And we ran on that Carnegie Mellon track. Coach, I'm so old. It was a cinder track. Do you remember that, sir?
Oh, I'm a graduate of Carnegie Mellon. And I graduated in 1979. And I remember that cinder track. And I threw discus at Carnegie Mellon, and in addition to playing football. So I remember the track very well.
Hey, Coach, I ran hurdles. And when you would fall, that cinder would embed itself in your ass, sir. How about that?
Yes. 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 Absolutely.
I digress, Coach. I love you. I love Carnegie Mellon. The capacity to do something like this for a stranger to a stranger is magnificent. David, I can't be happier for you, brother. I've been texting our boy Tivar, the greatest surgeon on earth. I guess he's going to do the job, right?
Yes, he is. And he's a great guy.
Yep.
Super guy.
My man, you had an amazing attitude, and I'll tell you what you didn't do. You didn't give up, and you kept pushing, and I love that about you. Congrats, brother.
Thanks so much.
Maybe you buy me dinner sometime. So what
happy.
Do you say about that?
What's that, Marty?
Let's all meet for dinner sometime. David can pay now.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful.
I'll pick up the check.
All right, boys. Hey, David, we'll follow this as you go through this, but next Thursday, right?
Yeah.
What
first
time?
Thing in the morning.
First thing.
I have to be down there at 5 o'clock
in
the morning.
Feels like Christmas, doesn't it?
Oh.
Wow.
It's indescribable.
It's a beautiful thing, man.
Marty, I also want to thank all those people who prayed for Dave.
Yeah, they did.
We had a bunch of priests who were kind enough to send out a lot of prayers for Dave.
Yep.
And we're grateful to all those prayers.
It helps. Thanks, boys. You're the best.
Absolutely.
That made my day, folks. That's a beautiful story. Oh, that's cool. Yes. That's amazing. It's really difficult to find a living, live donor. And the survival rate and the extent the kidney's much healthier, you live much longer. It's fantastic news. There are amazing stories out there, but that one is just astounding. And think to yourself, now I had cancer and got all jacked up. I can't donate a kidney, so I can't be fair in saying, yeah, I would do it. It wouldn't be fair. But I don't know. I don't know. One of my boys, Timmy Rush, his gorgeous wife gave him one of her kidneys. That's astounding. Can you imagine those fights? Well, I gave you my kidney, so I'm taking the girls to Italy for spring break. Huh? What? What's your comeback? I'm leaving you. I want my kidney, you SOB. Huh? Take it. I don't want it anyway. Mm-hmm. And, you know, dialysis sucks. Depending on who you are, some people do it all night at home. But even that, it's all night. Some people go twice a week. Some people go three times a week. And what happens, and Patrick knows this because he's been on this journey, because we've been together when we found people kidneys. There's a window, Patrick, when you can even stay healthy on dialysis, because eventually you die, right?
Yeah, they say it's like about a 5-year window.
Yeah.
Beyond that, your chances go down, you know, significantly. So you can only be on it for so long. Your body can only take so much.
It does. It beats you up. And you've sat there with me and watched this. It beats you. It drains people, Patrick. Drains them.
Oh, yeah. And I have family members that are still on dialysis. And it does drain them. It's physically taxing.
It is.
And for the folks that do it overnight, which is a little bit easier, and they do get to rest more, yeah, it still beats you up.
And this story of a stranger is, those are the ones that blow my mind. Amazing. Amazing.
How cool. Remember Ryan's case, a nurse from Cleveland, out of the blue.
Who, by the way, the same woman had already donated half of her liver to someone else. If I'm lying, I'm dying. One lady. It's a big decision, Patrick, and it takes a lot of courage.
Oh, it's huge.
So we're going to follow that. That's a very important. I don't know what I would do. Obviously, if my son or one of my kids needed a kidney, I would say, I don't care if I had cancer. Check it now. Take it tomorrow. Or my wife, for God's sakes. And my wife would do anything for me or those kids. But to a stranger, man. Hey, by the way, so you folks know this? There's 100,000 people right now waiting for kidneys. And I was kind of shocked to see this. They make up the vast majority of 84% to 86% of the entire organ transplant waiting list. Wow. The average wait time for a deceased donor kidney is 3 to 5 years. Living can take even longer. It's extremely rare. It's amazing. And also, depending on where you're at in the country, it's easier sometimes. In your hospital, it's easier sometimes. But in this case, the magnificence of a former Carnegie Mellon football player, and coach said, help us out. And this man in his 50s is going to come in here from Florida and do this. And by the way, just so you know, for the donor, it's very, very painful. From what we're told, right, Patrick? In fact, it could be tougher than for the recipient sometimes, the recovery.
Yep. It's gotten easier with the advancement of technology for these surgeries, but it's still not a cakewalk. And there's still recovery time afterwards.
And our boy Tivar, clearly the best transplant surgeon in America for kidneys, is doing the surgery. And to know him is to love him. He's a star. Fascinating what's happening in our culture. This measles thing has a lot of doctors hacked off, and I am too, that this low IQ idiot, RFK Jr., would say such a thing, but this is what he said. Now, he's mad. So what happened? It's like seventh grade. No, maybe more like sixth grade. No, kindergarten. So two people die from measles in Pennsylvania, Lancaster. One of them, by the way, is a baby. I just read that. RFK Jr., to be a jagoff, calls and says, we'd like to help. We'd like to take over this investigation. And Shapiro, in a nice way, tells him to screw off. We don't like that you make stuff up and you lie. And seriously, that's what happened. My words, not Shapiro's. So then, because it hurt his ego, RFK snaps back and says, okay, I don't think there is a measles case. I don't think anyone died from measles. You have it, Lonzo? Thanks, brother. Play it. Listen.
We're trying to get information about those two casualties. According to a statement that was released by the Lancaster County Commissioner today, they cannot find any measles deaths in Lancaster County. And they complained that the governor will not give them that information. Uh-huh. CDC tried to get that information from the governor yesterday, and the state is refusing to cooperate. The only state that won't cooperate with us is Pennsylvania, and we can't get any information. The press is all covering this as if those measles deaths actually happened. But nobody's doing the little bit of critical inquiry to find out. We're trying to figure out who those deaths were and whether they actually happened, and we can't figure that out yet.
Liar. He's a liar. He should be in the back of a movie theater. Alone, watching... What it's done is that now half the population now says, well, ain't no measles. I had to talk to the men on the ground and the women on the ground, the doctors who live this every day, this ridiculous crap. And Dr. McIsaac, one of the best there is. Hey, Doc, this is just another thing to make people afraid and angry and confused, sir, right?
Yeah, I think it's, I think it's adding to the mix where people are already confused and are a little gun shy with vaccines. And I think there needs to be better clarification for sure.
But now you got people coming to the office and you have to almost daily convince them that various vaccines are okay? Yeah?
No, fortunately, Marty, most of my patient population is on board with the majority of vaccines. Like I mentioned the other day, we have a very low percentage of patients that don't vaccinate. My office is in Wexford. You pointed out the other day there are different counties and different pockets where that's more of an issue. But in my practice, Marty, it's more specific to certain vaccines, like I mentioned the other day, like Gardasil.
Hold on. I want to stop you, though. This is amazing. Tell them what Gardasil is and tell them what's happening in your office. This is amazing. Go ahead.
So Gardasil is a vaccine that's been around for about 20 years, and it is indicated to lower the likelihood of contracting HPV, which is a virus that can lead to cervical cancer, throat cancer, multiple other cancers.
Right here, my cancer.
Marty, exactly. I mean, you've had it. But in my practice, we're still fighting the battle with people that seem that like they're well-informed about vaccines, but they're getting bad information about Gardasil in particular. And, I think as a whole, Marty, I read an article recently that the United States is behind many other developed countries in the world on Gardasil vaccine. So people just bring up things like, I've heard that it causes infertility.
Hold on. So you have people that say, I heard this Gardasil, which prevents this, obviously can save your life from this cancer, that it causes infertility. You have people saying that to you.
Correct.
Jesus.
Yes. That's something that initially came out in 2006 when the vaccine launched. And I don't know the roots of that, but I can't believe people still bring that up. But I'm like, we have 20 years of data.
Wow.
20 years of data. I'm like, there would have been a whole generation of, because initially it was just females that were approved for it.
Right.
If you remember, and then they expanded it to males and they expanded it to adult male and female up to the age of 45. But I'm like, we would have had a whole generation of people that had drastically increased infertility rates.
Wow.
From this. We've had, and people still, I mean, I had a patient in last week that
they didn't
want to get their teenager vaccinated.
Cause they were going to be infertile.
I mean, that particular case, they didn't cite that as the reason, but it comes up when people make the argument against it.
20-year-old wives' tale.
It is a wives' tale, yeah. I mean, there's no infertility with it. I mean, it definitely prevents cancers.
Yeah.
I mean, multiple cancers.
It's unbelievable to me.
I
sent you a study this morning. It's a miracle.
Yeah, 90% drop, Marty, in head and neck cancers with the Gardasil vaccine. And think about this. It came out indicated only for cervical cancer in young females, but then after studies and clinical trials and clinical results, we're seeing all this generational improvement of these cancers. So I really, really, really lean on my patients hard to get that one. I really do. Fortunately, most of my patients are okay with all the other ones, like measles, mumps, rubella, polio, meningitis. But Gardasil, I mean, I don't know the exact percentage in my practice. I'd say the majority do get vaccinated, Marty, but there's a staunch group that will not do it.
Ever.
No. But you know what's crazy is I've had patients where when they were, this is very interesting, Marty, when they were pediatric patients, their parents would not allow them to get that vaccine. They now come back as college and post-college age, and they want to get it.
Wow.
So it's almost like the parents are stifling that.
I've heard this.
When kids are realizing, you know, hey, this is out there, I want to get it. But so they were told as pediatric age, don't get it from their parents. Then they're coming back and be like, I'm old enough to decide now, I'm getting it.
And then some parents did this. Oh, no, my kid's not sexually active. That was their routine. And that irritates me.
Correct.
Too. Right?
Correct. But here's the thing. This is why I think they go down that path is because cervical cancer is unseen unless you specifically test for it. And in males with HPV, unless there's something external showing up down there, they're not going to know they have it, but they could be spreading it, and it could still be leading to other causes of cancer in their body.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. It's like almost like they can't see the proof, so they don't believe it. But I've asked many parents, okay, how many times, especially like, you know, if moms are in with the young kids.
Yeah.
How many times have you had a friend that said, oh, I've had an abnormal pap.
Yes.
I have to go back to the gynecologist. They're like, that happens a lot. I'm like, it happens all the time. The majority, because I do a lot of gynecology in my practice, Marty, the majority of those abnormal paps are linked to HPV.
It's unbelievable.
I really don't get. I really don't get.
I talked to a doc who said, I won't take you as a patient if you do this crap. Have you done that? Have you refused someone and said, I'm going to mess with you?
We fortunately haven't had families come in that they're not vaccinated against anything. I know there's families like that out there. All of our patients, because I see six and up, they've had measles, mumps, rubella, polio, all of the pediatric. But I haven't drawn that hard of a line on the Gardasil. And the reason I haven't is because I'm continuing to work with my patient population to increase the compliance with getting it done, and we're making progress. So I know that initially when I bring it up, Marty, they might say no, but I'm going to stay on them.
Good for you, man.
And I think as that trust level grows and they trust me as their doctor, they're hopefully going to listen more and more, because my thought is, yeah, you're putting your child at risk, but there's also a community-wide ramification of this virus. Let's think about both of them. But I figure if they are not allowed to come to my practice because of that, they're going to go to someone that's going to say, okay, fine, you don't want to do it, I'll never bring it up again. Where
I try
to break them down over time.
I get it.
Yeah. Yeah. But if it were other vaccines, like if someone was saying, hey, I want to start my six-year-old seeing you and they had no vaccines, yeah, I'd probably have a problem with that. And I'd be worried about exactly what's going on out there, where measles and things like that that were previously eradicated are now popping up again in large pockets.
There are no measles cases. Ask RFK Jr., Doc. Thanks, my man.
Yeah, well, first thing is we shouldn't... I don't know why we have a politician as the spokesperson.
I don't know, sir. You tell me, brother.
For health-related items. I mean, I do have to say that objectively.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
What
are we doing?
I mean, I know that's like a personal interest of his, yeah. And he's really kind of gone after these things, but I don't think it's appropriate to have a politician as, you know, political, or as a spokesperson, I should say, for
someone like you would be appropriate, medical. Sir.
I may do that someday, Marty.
Oh, I love you. I'm all in, my man, Dr. Dave McCaskey.
I may throw my hat in the ring, try to get in there.
Truth to power, sir. Thanks, Doc.
You got it, Marty. Thanks for all you do also for HPV and for documenting it. As you know, one of my patients and dear friends was recently diagnosed with HPV throat cancer. Yes. You were kind enough to talk to me about it and offer to share your experience with him, and you've done so much for this, more than you know.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you, Doc.
All right, Marty. You take care. Thank you.
A hell of a man there. I spent a couple hours in White Oak yesterday with a wonderful couple and one of my dear friends, Carl DeLacandro with A-Plus Stairlifts. We've been friends for more than 20 years. In that process, we've gone into a lot of homes where folks are literally crawling up the stairs. We were talking yesterday. We went into a home, I think it was Beaver. There was a veteran who hadn't used the shower upstairs in 7 years because he couldn't afford a stair lift. That's just sickening. It's gross. No, really, man, that should be illegal. And so we go into this house yesterday in White Oak, Becky and Ron McCarney, and it's the same thing, man. Ron's, I think, 91. I got to bring Carl into this with A-plus stairlift. Hey, brother, how are you?
I'm good, Morty. Good afternoon. Thanks for having me on.
My man Ron was crying and told us before we put in that stairlift at his home in White Oak, that feeble man who can barely walk or hear, was crawling up the stairs. Did he not tell us that?
That was his story, yeah. And, I mean,
come on.
For his struggles at Bailey, that person was so upbeat, so
yes.
Positive. I mean, you want to be around someone like that. And it's just a shame.
My man, should anyone have to crawl up their friggin' stairs like that? Like an animal.
No.
Huh?
No. I mean, there should be some type of assistance, some type of insurance. I mean,
God.
Hey, these people worked hard all their life. They're still working.
Yes!
I mean, wait, you said 91 years old. His wife, I forget her age.
82.
To make ends meet. They're working part-time jobs. And,
still.
And she's doing a physical job.
Yes.
Cleaning an office. It's tough.
He couldn't take a shower, couldn't use the bathroom until you put in that stairlift yesterday. The joy it must bring you, brother, the reward to see the joy in their face just to be able to go upstairs and shower. It's got to feel good.
Well, we feel pretty good after doing that, yes. We're glad we can help. And, you know, Morty, because back from the very beginning, you know, talking to you on the radio, your listeners hear this and they may have a use still that they don't need anymore.
True.
And that's where they call you or they call me, and we can pay it forward, and it's great.
Carl, you changed their lives. His sweet little wife came up and hugged me and started crying. It's hard to imagine that a stair lift can bring that much joy, but it does. It changes their life in a moment, doesn't it, sir?
It does, and you know, we certainly enjoy what we do. It goes back to when I cared for my mom and dad. My wife and I cared for my mom and dad, and we got a stairlift for her. We knew nothing about stairlifts, but just the relief. It's just, you know.
It's unbelievable.
Paying it forward.
It's amazing. Carl DeLacandro, we cut a beautiful video, which we will post probably tomorrow, but it was a hell of a day, man. I can't thank you enough for being the man that you are, sir. It's amazing.
No, thank you for keeping it going.
You are the best.
Thanks,
brother.
Marty.
All right, my man. Talk to you. That's a hell of a man there. However, comma, there's no friggin' way that should be the only way that someone can go upstairs without having to crawl in your mind's eye, picture a feeble 91-year-old man who can't hear, crawling up the stairs crying to take a shower in America. More specifically, in White Oak. That should never happen. He'll never have to do it again, though.